2016, we challenged Section 13 and 17 of the Law of Marriage Act of Tanzania, which allowed girls as young as 14 to get married, while the minimum age for boys was 18. So we challenged it at the High Court of Tanzania, and in July the same year, 2016, the High Court ruled in our favor and in favor of girls in Tanzania and raised the minimum age of marriage to 18.
That's Rebecca Yumi, and she's here at the UN today to accept a prestigious award for her work in championing the rights of women and girls in her home country, Tanzania.
That is, for me, another fundamental milestone that I think emphasizes on the importance of, you know, girls' rights, and really that girls' rights are human rights.
You're listening to the UN and Africa podcast from UN News here in New York. I'm Natalie Hutchison, and today Rebecca takes us through her achievements and why they matter. She's best known for this feat, repealing former Tanzanian law that once allowed child marriages for young girls. But this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the milestones under her belt and what she hopes to tackle in the future.
I have been working on a number of issues through the organization that I founded called Msichana Initiative. And Msichana is a Swahili word for a girl, so it's a girl initiative. I think something else that we have done this year through the advocacy work that we did at the parliament, we were able to scrap out the tax imposed on sanitary pads. And now the tax is zero on sanitary pads. The aim is to reduce the price, but at the same time, the end goal for us is to one day enable girls in school to get free sanitary pads.
So are those pretty expensive in general for girls?
Yes, yes. So for girls, especially the ones who are in school, the fact that they're not able to access sanitary pads has resulted into some of them missing up to 4 or 5 days a month. And also we have 1 out of 10 girls drop out completely.
Because so they're missing school.
Yes, of the access.
Wow, that's incredible. And when did that change, you said, the tax?
This year, June. Okay.
Before earning her law degree, volunteering with various organizations and founding her own, Rebecca's upbringing cultivated a passion that she says she owes to her family and community. You touched on a little bit of your background and your upbringing and this conviction that you have to change the lives for girls in Tanzania. Could you give us a little more detail about what it was like growing up and your family life and what prompted you to be so passionate?
So I come from a family, like, very humble beginnings, you know. I've grown in a family of, you know, father and mother who were very passionate about education. Not because they had a lot, no. Just because they felt like they didn't have anything else to give us, you know, in terms of inheritance. But they could sort of like invest in our education. So I saw firsthand how my mom, for instance, would sacrifice everything to ensure that we get an education, I and my siblings. And when I say sacrifice, I mean it, you know, from selling clothes, you know, traveling miles to just go buy fish, coming, selling. You know, she has done a lot of different businesses, you know, to get money. But also community had a very important role to play in my life. I've seen women in the church that I used to go to contributing in buying things for me to be able to go to school. So that sense of communityhood, that sense of, you know, I am because you are, kept me grounded, I would say. And it's something that to date, I feel like I'm persistently reminded to pay it forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you must have faced obstacles along the way, right? What obstacles can you remember promoting human rights?
I would say majority of our communities are really patriarchal. So whenever you're advancing girls' or women's rights, people always name you like, you know, you're promoting Western culture, you know, you're trying to change our culture, you know. Those kind of words, in a way that sometimes they will demoralize you and you feel like, you know, if you're not careful, you just say, you know, like, okay, I'm not proceeding with this anymore. Being, I think, a woman myself, people always try to bash you using your body and your sexuality because those are the things that they feel are quickly to attack. Yeah. So, but for instance, when we pursued a case at the High Court, I also saw a lot of, I wouldn't say backlash, but people who look at you and would say, you know, you young people, you, what can you do? You know, you cannot change anything, you know. So those kind of words, and if you hear them consistently from different people, they demoralize you. And you feel like, okay, what am I fighting for after all? If maybe sometimes people are not even there to see the miles that you have to walk to ensure that things are happening.
I mean, did you ever feel like just giving up?
Not really giving up, but there are times where you feel like, you know, is it worth it? You know, like, is it worth it? Worth the insults and, you know, the backlash that you get, you know? Definitely there are moments where you just stay alone and really think through things, you know? And I'm just happy that I have a partner who has been really my sounding board, you know? Consistently and persistently reminding me of my purpose.
Is this a spouse or a working partner?
No, it's a spouse. It's my husband.
Oh,
he's
that's
outside.
Beautiful.
He's sitting there.
Fred?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I met him and didn't know.
That partner apparently was Fred, her husband, who I met earlier, though I assumed he was just a colleague.
Excellent professional partnership because I had no idea.
Oh. Oh, you thought he was my personal assistant?
Yeah. Great job, Fred.
You see, so getting me a bottle of water just emphasizes how he says, keep on going.
Wow, yeah. That's beautiful.
Making changes to legislation when she was just 29 is pretty incredible. And if it sounds like doing all this work is a full-time job, that's because for Rebecca, it is. But straightening out the law is only phase one.
I mean, with the huge and obvious milestone of challenging that law and having it shifted to where marrying children off is no longer permitted, how have you seen that change your community?
Yeah, so I would say the fact about law is, you know, it sets the foundation, you know, for other things to happen. So we have seen, for instance, in communities now, it's sort of like easier, for instance, to enforce and protect girls who are prone to get married younger, because then you have the foundation that speaks to it. But still, you will need the community with you, the girls themselves, to understand the urgency of, you know, standing for their rights. So increasingly, I would say, as much as the law is helpful, we need to work with girls themselves, and we are doing that. We need to work with communities so they can champion the rights of girls in their spaces, and also work through the protection mechanism so these laws are enforced.
So this is a pretty big problem in Tanzania.
So at the moment, the statistics are 2 out of 5 girls marry before the 18th birthday. So that is like 37%.
Yeah. Wow. So what's next with this specific issue for you?
In terms of
making progress on it, I know you talked about working with the girls themselves.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, so we have in-school clubs at the moment, and we have 60 clubs in total, based in 6 regions in the country. And through those, we are able to reach more than 15,000 girls directly. So that for us is sort of like the work that we feel will probably proceed for the coming years, ensuring that, you know, first we deepen our work in the schools that we're in, but also we spread to other spaces or communities. Then in terms of working with communities, we already have what we call Msichana Cafes. Msichana Cafes are informal platforms for community members who are championing girls' rights in their areas.
Wow.
So we already have these established. We have 16 of them in 3 regions. And with the protection mechanism, we sort of like complement the government protection mechanism, which is under the National Plan of Ending Violence Against Women and Children. And the mechanism are called Women and Children Protection Committees. So we have been facilitating the establishment of these committees in the spaces where we have Msichana Cafes. So to date, we have 21 Women and Children Protection Committees that are working in collaboration with Msichana Cafes to prevent but also respond to issues of girls' violence.
That's great.
Yeah.
And for you personally, what has been the most valuable lesson through your journey in advocating for human rights?
Persistent. I mean, persistence is like a virtue that I've learned all over, every time. Like, you need to persevere. And you need to be consistent in the things that you're doing, not just for you to get credibility around them, but, you know, to really see desirable impact. If you're not persistent enough and you're not consistent in doing it, you'll probably not be able to achieve a lot.
Yeah. And that's what brought you here today. You're at the United Nations. Mm-hmm. You've just received an award for your persistence, for your excellence with human rights. Just briefly tell us how it felt to receive that award today. What does it mean for you and for Tanzania?
First, I think I should say the day that they called me to tell me that, you know, you have been selected to receive the UN Human Rights Prize Award. I mean, I was so shocked. It was unbelievable, you know, just for the fact that, you know, I was like, okay, I had to pinch myself twice. And for me, I think it's really a proud moment, not just for myself and the cause that I'm standing for, but even for my country. You know, today I'm standing here representing Tanzania, you know, so it's a proud moment for my country. And I feel a sense of responsibility at the same time, you know, that I need to continue doing what I'm doing.
I mean, aside from this amazing work that you're doing with the girls, are there any other passions or any other issues that you're ready to tackle in the future?
I've always said, especially with the Msichana Initiative, the organization I founded, I already said at the beginning that I would like to give it like 10 years, you know, to commit my time with it. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm invested in ensuring that, you know, we are really contributing our effort and initiative in first changing the discriminatory laws that we have in our countries. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, promoting safe spaces for girls and empowering young women to really have that agency and own their voice, because I personally don't subscribe to the narrative of voiceless. Everybody has a voice, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just that you know, to mobilize that agency for people to amplify their voice, I think that's what is missing sometimes.
Regarding this kind of false narrative, as you put it, of women in powerlessness or voicelessness, what's your biggest fear when it comes to that?
I think I think the fear of being misunderstood sometimes.
Absolutely.
People might want to understand you the way they want to understand you from their own perspective. And of course, it's quite understandable, but, you know, it's already a fear. Like, you know, you always want to be clear. I at all don't intend to be misunderstood, because probably that's what I fear the most. Yeah.
Definitely. Is there anything else you'd like to add that I didn't ask, or maybe a message on this very special occasion for you?
I think for me, it would just be maybe a thank you. You know, a thank you and appreciation to the people that, you know, surround me now, or people who have been part of my journey at different times in life. I am definitely a result of different efforts. I am no way a result of self-initiative alone, you know. So I thank you, everyone who has been part of my journey in telling me as it is, you know, because you have really contributed to the woman that is talking today. So thank you. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you very, very much for being here with us, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.
That was Rebecca Gyumi speaking to me about what motivates her to be a human rights champion. For UN News, I'm Natalie Hutchison. And this concludes this episode of our UN and Africa podcast, our first for 2019. Thanks for listening.